Okay, I'm not hearing any music, so I guess we're going to go ahead and start talking so that everyone doesn't hear dead air. And, I mean, it shows the music playing, but I don't hear anything, so I'm going to assume it's not playing. If you are hearing me talk over music or not, if you're in the chat room, please let us know. Anyway, my name is Dr. Deb Kelly. Welcome to the Spirit of Life radio broadcast. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello. Glad to be here.
And so am I. So I'm just going to assume in the music would pretty much be over with. In fact, it would be now. So anyway, tonight we're going to be talking about answering the call of anomalous research, and we're going to be kind of expanding that just a little bit. Tonight's program will probably be about a half an hour or so, 30 minutes or so, unless one of us gets talkative. But that's what we're going to do. And let's just go through our preliminary information, which I've been neglectful lately. But the Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. We have a number of educational programs as part of the church organization, EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, which is an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, that offers bachelor's, master's, doctoral degrees in metaphysical science, spiritual counseling, holistic life coaching, holistic healing, hypnosis, paranormal science, and several other areas. And if you want to take a standalone course, you can do that, too, at one of our schools. ICHSWorld.org is the place to do that. And, of course, more information about the Church, International Church of Metaphysical Humanism, is available at metaphysicalhumanism.org. I'd also like to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Number 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. Number 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And number 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on our principles of belief, as well as the expanded version, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. Now, as I mentioned, tonight we'll be talking here shortly about answering the call of anomalous research. We're also going to talk about that for a few minutes, and then we're going to get into our In Spirit forum, where those listening live anyway can ask for a card pull, and we use the Inner Oracle cards, which are a deck of 54 cards that pretty much talk about everything that we teach and healthy stuff. And we're going to pull a card to serve as our theme for tonight. So, Dr. Hunter, if you'd be so kind.
I just pulled self-acceptance. Be who you are. Walk your own path.
That's an excellent card for tonight's topic.
It is.
And I'm just going to pause for just a second here. I'm monitoring the chat. And if you're listening to us in the chat and everything sounds okay, if you'd let us know. I know the music didn't play the normal intro music, which it should have, so I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk Radio. But if everything's cool, then I'm going to launch into our discussion.
I was keeping an eye on, and a few people had echo problems, but refreshing helped. So I think we're good to go.
All right, very good. So let's talk about our main topic is answering the call of anomalous research. And as I get into this topic, I want you to think about whatever your call is, answering your call. I mean, you could, it's just as easily, replace those words with that answering your call or the call of what you want to do. We've talked about one's purpose and even which card number was that that you pulled? Do you still have it?
Oh, yeah, I have it out. It's card number 3.
Okay, so
in the life leadership paragraph. Yep.
Walk your own path, be who you are. And that's really what we're talking about. So there are obviously a lot of people who are interested in the paranormal and anomalous research, as I call it, because it's a broader term. It covers about everything. But, and there's a lot of folks who, you know, most of the people who do paranormal investigations of any kind, obviously are amateurs. That's where most everybody starts. And they have a desire to understand what's going on. There's some that just want the thrills. And unfortunately, the amateur paranormal research field, you know, just has kind of gotten a bit of a bad name over recent years, mostly because of the inexperience and some other things of the investigators. A lot of people call it ghost hunting. I never call it ghost hunting because I don't hunt ghosts anymore, and I would hunt people. And I don't hunt people or anything for that matter. And so I never use that term because I think it denigrates the field. I don't think it gives it the honor and dignity that it deserves. And I personally think that the anomalous research field or the call of doing anomalous research is one of the noblest calls you can do, one of the noblest things you can do. Why? Because it has far-reaching effects and an impact on the human condition. You know, it's like, what happens after we die? You know, do UFOs exist? Are there aliens out there? Is the universe populated? What kind of undiscovered creatures exist on this planet? There's all kinds of those questions. What about ghosts and spirits? You know, are they real? Can they hurt you? You know, a lot of people think they can, they can't, but a lot of people think they can. So, unfortunately, the amateur research field is rife with superstition, with misconceptions, with lack of understanding what's real. And that's what I'm wanting to talk to the audience about tonight. So if you are into paranormal investigation, UFOs, any of that, any kind of investigations, I'll refer to it all as anomalous research. If you're into it, I want you to pay close attention. Obviously, you're into it because you have a deep interest in it. Most of us who have an interest in it, we started when we were kids. We always had an interest in it. And just, you know, it's like human nature. I mean, we love a mystery, right? So we want to figure out the answer to the mystery. And that's a noble calling. But if you're going to do this, then I would like to challenge those of you who are doing it as a hobby to stop. And I mean, don't do it as a hobby. Do it as a part of who you are. Do it in an effort to make a difference. And in order to make a difference, you got to think for yourself. Yes, there's lots of speculation going around. There's a lot of things that we can infer based on what happens, things like that. That's fine. But never stop thinking for yourself. Always question everything. You know, one of the scientists, and forgive me, I can't recall his name. I needed to look it up. But his basic question as a scientist, as an astroscientist, was, you know, what are the facts and what do those facts tell us? And we have to keep asking that question. What are the facts and what do those facts tell us? We never want to jump to a paranormal conclusion. One of the best examples of people who jump to a paranormal conclusion are those who believe in orbs, or that orbs are ghosts. Now, in reality, you know, I don't know, orbs could be ghosts, but probably not the ones that you see in pictures. If you see an orb with your eyes, well, it could be. It may not be. We haven't examined all the things it could be. So, you know, you see an orb in a picture, don't just automatically conclude that it's paranormal in nature. It's not. It's airborne dust. Look, I wish it was a ghost too, but the facts are, and that it's dust. Don't ever forget Occam's razor. The simplest explanation is likely the correct one in the absence of data. So if you don't have all the answers, then you can only draw some conclusions based on the evidence. And if you have no real evidence, you've got to go with the simplest explanation because that's likely the correct one. So when it comes to orbs, are they ghosts? No, the simplest explanations is airborne contaminants, airborne particles, close proximity contaminants, CPCs. And it's mostly generated from the fact that these compact cameras have the lens or the flash close to the lens, and they create orbs. It's just what happens. You know, it started happening with the advent of digital cameras in the late 90s. So when we're doing anomalous research, we have to be rigorous investigators. We don't want to jump to paranormal conclusions. You hear a strange noise, you don't automatically think that it's a ghostie out to get you or just somebody there.
I do.
You know, you're a different case. Have meds for her. Anyway.
It's ghost out to get you. That's funny. Sorry, you tickled my funny bone right there.
But, you know, if something moves, well, we don't want to automatically conclude that it's paranormal. We want to ask, what are the facts, and what do those facts tell us? You know, that's what professional anomalous researchers do. Professional scientists, objective. Keep your head down on the ground, your head on your shoulders, your feet on the ground. Remain grounded. Because we can believe whatever we want, but that doesn't make it real. It doesn't make it real. You might have some subjective experiences. I've had them too. And I have my own thoughts as to what they were. But I'm not going to put that out to the world to say, yep, there's proof of ghosts, because I felt like I got touched once and I can't explain it any other way. For me, well, it means something. But as a researcher, as a professional anomalous researcher, I can't put that out there. I can't say, yeah, well, they're real because I was touched once. You know, well, that's subjective. You can't reproduce it. You can't even go do anything with that. So, you know, when you're doing your investigations, you got a good EVP, and I mean a good one, and there was nobody around. You can pretty much justify this. There was nobody around. Nobody was talking. Nobody was in the next room making out. I've heard that one before, and that resulted in some, quote, EVPs. You know, you can really substantiate it. Nobody was there. Those are kinds of things that we need to come up with. In my opinion, EVPs are some of the best evidence that we can come up with. And so you are rigorous in your investigation. Leave the hobby stuff alone. Forget that stuff. Don't be a ghost hunter. Be an anomalous researcher or investigator. Be a pro and do what the pros do. They're not too quick and willing to, you know, to conclude a paranormal conclusion. They've got to have some good, supportive, compelling evidence before they will say that it's paranormal. And then usually they don't. They can say, you know, it appears, you know, or in lack of evidence, it appears that something was going on. We still have to do more research. That's the kind of thing that leaves the door open for you. Because if you bank your reputation on something that later proves to be a hoax or somebody was playing a trick on you or whatever, your reputation shot. Here's a crucial nugget. The validity of any evidence rests solely on the credibility of the researcher who obtained it. So if you have a good reputation and you say that something is up, you're going to be taken more seriously. But if you are quick to call everything paranormal or everything alien or everything whatever, your reputation's not going to last. I mean, there are people on these documentaries that, you know, and there's some that I really respect. Stanton Friedman's one of them. There are others who I won't name that I have no respect for because they're so quick to call it alien or a ghost or whatever without sufficient support. It's just a belief for them, and that's fine if they want to believe that. But, you know, they get on these documentaries, they're essentially put up as experts in the field, and they get a following because people want to believe. And it's so cool to believe that this stuff is real. And I want to believe it too. Pretty sure it is. But I just don't have, like most of us, don't have the strong supporting evidence that we can say, yep, it is for a fact. Dr. Hunter, you want to jump in?
Yeah, well, I would say, isn't it fair to say that a lot of people out there who are, quote-unquote, ghost hunters also don't have a lot of people training to understand that there's just so many other factors that can go with explanations, like telekinesis?
Mm-hmm. Well,
isn't it fair to say that? Well, I think so. people, if they want to pursue that kind of investigation or be an investigator, that they should also get extra training, like to know what kind of equipment, not just the equipment and look for ghosts, but understanding people. I guess that's what I'm trying to say too.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, a paranormal conclusion is not the only one that is available. There are lots of reasons why stuff happens. And in my experience, psychological aspects of the incident are probably the biggest explanation for why things happen. People get stressed. People can misidentify things. I'll give you an example. The corner of your eye, you know, people say, well, you know, you see something out of the corner of your eye, and that means there's a spirit there. The last week, I've been seeing cats out of the corner of my eye. I swear one of my cats is there, and it's not. I'm thinking, well, what is that? One of my previous cats coming to pay a visit? I don't know. It'd be great to believe that, but I don't know that. But I've been seeing them, and I'm thinking, what is this? You know, is this an omen? Is your time up or what? I mean, you're starting to see things out of the sides of your eyes here. It's not. It's just things that look like that, and it catches my attention. You know, I can't go do anything with that. But there are things like that, psychological reasons. People can get into toxic relationships is a big one. You know, there's stuff that can go on, and we think we may see something or feel something that really is a result of stress. Stress can really wreak havoc. Now, it's true that some people, when stressed, can manifest some RSPK, which is recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis. Things can move. Stuff can happen. There's an incident that happened to me many, many years ago at my house. You know, there was some dishes in the sink, and there was a one of those Corning glassware, like a casserole dish, you know. It's glass. It was blue. Sitting in the sink. It'd been there for, you know, I mean, I think we'd made dinner with it the night before. This was in the morning. Didn't do the dishes that night. So it was sitting there in the dish. I mean, it wasn't just out of the oven or anything. It was sitting there. And there was some serious stress from an alcoholic relationship at the time. And there was some arguing. And I heard this shattering. And I went in the kitchen, and that bowl, that dish, just broken in two. I mean, it was just sitting there. Nothing was happening around. We're just sitting there, and it just broke. It'd be cool to call that, well, that was an example of psychokinesis. Was it? Could have been. I don't know. But I can't explain why the thing just shattered, sitting in the sink with nobody in there. And I know for a fact there was nobody in there. So those are the kind of things. Can that kind of stuff happen with certain people? Sure, it can. I think we've documented enough of that in the past to know that they're, you know, psychic abilities, psi ability on the part of human. It's a natural human thing. Some people are very gifted at it.
Well, even with children, you have children
around.
You know, there are a lot of things, because I always say kids are like caught off the cosmic plane, you know, little ones, mm-hmm. and they open their own kinds of energies and worlds and have perception, like they don't have the same filters that we do, and maybe there is something there, but they can also generate that kind of energy to create stuff to happen. So we've seen that.
Speaking of children, when I did my very first anomalous investigation, age 9, in Blackfoot, Idaho, I was with my cousins, one of my little bit older cousin, Becky, she was with me, and my other cousin, Steve. But we had great-grandparents, and my great-grandfather had passed several years prior. And you know, we were doing this investigation. That's what we were doing. We wanted to see a ghost. We were kids. And so we were there with the house. We were looking in, and Becky and I were looking in the window, and I swear I saw my great-grandfather with his cane coming, walking. I could see inside the house. Nobody was in there. My great-grandma was in the hospital at the time. I swear I could see him coming through the doorway with his cane, and it freaked me out. And I got on my bike and tootled off back to my grandparents' house, and she was right behind me. And Steve came, you know, riding a little bit later, and he didn't see anything. And as the years wore on, I look back on that and think, oh, come on, you that was wishful thinking. I mean, you really wanted to see something, and, you know, you're a kid. You wanted to see something, so you did. Well, lo and behold, excuse me, lo and behold, gosh, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, as a result of Facebook, my cousin Becky, who I'd lost contact with for 30 years, she contacted me, and we talked. First thing she says, "Do you remember seeing Grandpa Ted?" I says, "Yeah, man, did you see that?" She says, "Yes, I saw it. We both saw it, you know," and she remembered. I didn't, so she saw it too. So was that real? Maybe it was. You know, I still question whether or not it was just wishful thinking, but that's the kind of stuff we have to look into. We have to be serious, have to keep our feet on the ground. Otherwise, we get way out into foo-foo land, and we're willing to believe anything. And that's just not going to get us as a species anywhere. It's not going to give us answers to what's really going on. So, and just to kind of sum up what I've been saying, if you're going to do this, do it right. Be objective. Keep your feet on the ground, your head on your shoulders. The most important tool you can take to investigation is your head, your brain. Think for yourself. Be rigorous. Demand, you know, good answers. And if you don't have compelling evidence, don't put it out there. You know, make sure your reputation stays intact. When it comes to pictures, move on. Who cares? Take some pictures to document your investigation. But you know what? Even if you got a full-blown ghost in a picture, so what? What does it tell us about anything? It doesn't tell us anything. It just ends up being a really cool picture. So if you're going to be a researcher, do it. And always understand that this field of anomalous research is one of the noblest of callings. Now, as I said at the outset, you can take any of these things I've mentioned and apply it to whatever your calling is. And if you're going to do it, do it.
Well, you know, I think it's noble, just if I can inject here. I think it's noble that because we're looking for answers about consciousness, we're looking for answers in other worlds, other dimensions. It adds to our understanding of a universal consciousness. And that's what, when you're in pursuit of such answers for the right reasons, not just to become famous on TV, you know, or have lots of people like you, it's really because we are expanding our awareness. We're trying to learn. We're trying to grow. You know, from the beginning of time, we've tried to figure out who are we? Where did we come from? Where do we go when we die? You know, it's all those kinds of questions. And that's why it really is noble that people want to pursue those interests. So but we've got to be grounded and objective, too. I mean, it's just sensibility. I have a lifetime filled with so many stories. I could be here for a very long time. It's my perspective, and I want to say this to everybody, it's my perspective based on my experience, and that is subjective. And when it repeats, then it becomes more acceptable, and you get more comfortable with it, and that opens your consciousness again. But not everybody will have the same experiences. So this is what we're trying to figure out. This is the universe we're exploring.
And I'm not trying to say that you can't give some credence to your own subjective experiences. I do. But, you know, it's just that I can't use those to prove anything. It proves it to me, which is important, but, you know, I'm looking for something that we can really, you know, put our hat on here. I mean, when I first met Vicky and we talked on Skype, you know, I was testing her out. I've talked about this on past shows. You know, I was testing her out as a psychic. I didn't know her. And so I said, "Do you see anybody standing around me?" And she said, "Yeah, I see a monk standing behind you." About fell off my chair because previously, another friend of mine, Gregory, had told me that my guide was a monk. And Vicky had no way of knowing that. And so, you know, I look at that, and that really meant something. And there was some other stuff that happened. So to me, that told me some things. That impressed me.
If I can inject here, though, on that first experience, we could also say that there could have been telepathy at work.
Well, you know, it was right in my mouth.
I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but we had other experiences that followed that it would not be of telepathic nature that gave us other evidence and that we believe is our own evidence to satisfy ourselves. But in that kind of situation, I'm the first one to say that I can't tell you where I get the information. Could be from your own consciousness. We are sharing space. We're sharing consciousness. It could be telepathy. But,
could have been.
Where I think it's coming from may not be. So that's me learning and growing. But when I like things, although these things never do really repeat exactly, but similarly, and then we build on that and we explore it. So it's just, we got to keep learning.
Well put. All right. So let's segue into our final portion of the In Spirit Life Forum. If you'd like to have a card pulled from our In Spirit Oracle card, or In Spirit, from Inner Oracle card deck, just put your name there in the chat, and we'll be happy to do that. These Inner Oracle cards are available at metaphysicalhumanism.org in our store. There's 54 cards, what is it, 6 suits, and they basically, it's an incredible teaching aid. It's a learning tool. Tells you about yourself. And so...
Well, I would like to read, the card that we chose as the theme off the top of the show. Be who you are, walk your own path, number 3 out of the Life Leadership Paragon. It reads, you are a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being. I love that. Equally entitled to all good things, the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself. Now, for everybody out there, very often we make unpopular or, decisions in our life that other people don't understand and they challenge us. And it's good to take all the information in. It's good, but you still... do what is right for you. Walk your path.
Good stuff. And what I'd like you to... Go ahead.
Sorry.
Did Jenny want... Okay, she does. Go ahead.
Well, I can... I'm just... I got one for Jenny. It's hope. Jenny, number 7 of the wild cards. So I go to the back of this little book for the wild cards. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope in and of itself does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope. It's just be hopeful. So that's a little message for you, Jenny, and anybody else who can relate to that out there. I think that that's a really powerful message. It's a very important part of all of us. Be hopeful.
It's one of the most important things we can have, because without hope, we are literally hopeless and we have nothing. And there's never, hope is never all lost. So if you're feeling hopeless, regain it. There's nothing to feel hopeless about. It just means you need to change your mindset, your belief system. You need more data. You need to look for the positives and understand that you can raise yourself out of that. There's no reason to be hopeless. We just, it goes back to your calling. Anybody who has a calling, who has a sincere, heartfelt calling, they're not busy being hopeless. They're busy doing something that matters to them. They're making a difference in their own way. And that's the cool thing. They don't have a problem with motivation because they're driven. They want to accomplish this. They're after it. And if that whatever you have that thrills you, that excites you, chase it. Life is way too long and it's way too short to go through life and not doing what's fulfilling for you, not doing what you love. And even if you are not in a situation right at the moment to do what you love, you can still work toward that. Remember, like attracts like. Whatever you focus on is what you will get eventually. It's just a law. It's a cosmic truth. Anything you want, you can have it, as long as it's on the menu here. But anything reasonable here, and you can't, build a house on the moon right now. You might in 100 years, but not right now. But whatever you want, you can get. Focus on it.
I keep trying for the lotto.
Yeah. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. And so that's cool.
Tracy.
Tracy
B.
Okay. Okay,
Tracy
good.
B.
Good.
I got a card for you, Tracy B. Invoke the Counselor Within, number 19 of the spirituality suit. So the little message here for you. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within you. You know, doesn't this all complement each other in some way? It all fits. So this may be a time to remind yourself to not codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that's right for you. Isn't that what we've been saying all throughout the program tonight? We do have the information inside of us, and it's kind of, if you think about the higher consciousness, your unconscious, your subconscious, the answers are there. You know, there's many times when we are forced into situations, and I think we can all relate to this, forced into situations that the answer is there. It's just one that we had never thought of before. It just wasn't in our front mind. It just couldn't. But it takes certain events for the unconscious mind to reach the consciousness, that front mind, to say, oh, that's the change. That's the counselor within. That's what we need to do. And so maybe there's a little bit of that going on, Tracy, that, you know, again, it's something you haven't thought of before. So gather all the information from around you. No, Tracy just put in the chat, yes, in capital letters. So good for you. And
don't,
so just
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, gather all the information that you get. You just keep exploring, keep learning, keep, you know, it's just even one little bit at a time. And that back mind will come forward, and there's your answer.
And we don't want to forget that sometimes the answers we're looking for lie outside our belief system, too. So, you know, when it comes to being your own guru, your own counselor, the motivation here is for us to stand on our own two feet. We can ask advice, we can ask opinions, yes, but it's up to us. We need to look within, and we need to remember our own truth, walk our own path, not somebody else's path. If we do what other people want us to do, we're walking their path, not ours. So we have to remain true to ourselves. All right, we got one more.
Do we have another one?
Zach.
Oh, for Zach. Zach. Hello, Zach. Nice to see you in the chat. I have one for Zach. Oh, the unknowable. It's a wild card. The energy at hand is outside the norm. And this unknowable, and I'll tell you a little story about this one, is as we were developing this, you know, all the oracle cards, sometimes there is no answer. We, and Dr. Kelly and I had discussions about this very particular symbol that, because sometimes there really isn't an answer. But anyway, let me read this to you. So this particular symbol took a lot of development, is what I'm trying to say, Zach. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. That's really important here. So think about that for a minute. It's outside your existing ways for thinking. Change your mind and you'll change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable becomes knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. Mm-hmm. What was once unknowable is now knowable, and remain flexible and open to change. So this is
that's pretty good.
Zach just
we should sell those things.
I know we should. Zach just wrote the wow in the chat. We do know a little bit about Zach and his life, and he has been in a big transition. This particular message this is what I try to impart to people in my work too, is that in predicting things, this is why it's so hard to read for yourself, to do a reading for yourself, because it's outside of our brain file. You know, I think of the brain in a way as like a hard drive, and sometimes we have to defragment and assimilate and go through things. But when we're trying to see something ahead, it's outside of our experience, outside of our belief system, our filing system, or, you know, we just can't see it, so it's unknowable. So we have to watch those little indicators to say, oh, this is a whole new playing field. I had no idea, you know, because but you can see it for other people, but it's very difficult to see for yourself. So this is a really powerful message that where you're going is outside anything that you've known before, and just take the ride. You know, to enjoy the ride and take the steps and go forward.
I want to also say, take this opportunity to tell those who regularly join us, we really appreciate you taking the time, and those who listen to the archives, we appreciate you too. And if you like what you hear, let other people know about it. And you know, this is not just a radio show, it's really a Spirit of Life service, it's a church service, it's designed to hopefully uplift you and give you things to think about, provoke you to thought, maybe even disturb you to action. You know, it's part of our overall educational effort, and that's what ICMH Church is all about, is education, educating people, getting them to think, raising awareness. You know, we're even working on starting another school, which we'll talk about more in the weeks to come, with a different approach and you know, and to try to reach yet other people who, you know, want to grow, want to evolve, want to just get, you know, grow in awareness. That's what we're here for. So we appreciate those of you who take the time to join us each week, and we hope you'll continue and let other people know. I just started some music, but I don't hear it, so
it's a BTR thing.
It is. And speaking of that, I'm looking into other avenues other than BTR for this radio program, and I'm going to try to do something fairly quickly to see if we can't get a better venue. We just have far too many troubles with BTR, and have had. I mean, I've been using them for 7 years or so, and it just keeps coming in. People have such a hard time logging in or getting it to work. Ads are always a problem, or have been, even though I have the package that's supposed to not have ads. But anyway, we appreciate you sticking with us, and sorry about the technical problems, but we're trying to work on it and see if we can't come up with something a little better. So with that,
that's part of us growing and learning. Yeah. We keep tweaking and streamlining, and you know, again, it you know, you don't just put up a school and say, oh, there, and maintain it. It's always changing. Everything's changing.
Dynamic.
Right now we're making some other big changes, and we're going to have some big announcements come the new year. So stay tuned. Like a little teaser. But for now, it's just we'll change the avenue of who we do the radio show with.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. But thank you. I'd like to throw in a thanks to, we have a really kind and interesting group of people who join us regularly, and you know, we get to know you pretty well, and we thank you very much for always being good supporters, and that's awesome.
And I'd also like to thank my son, Michael, who's with us each week and taking care of the phone lines and producing behind the scenes, and appreciate his time, too. And so until next week, I'll post a topic for our next program next week on the websites, and get that out there. But again, thanks everybody. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Have a great week.
Good night.